Scripture comes from Psalms 119, verses 97 through 105, and it says this: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me, and you make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let me invite you to stand for just a moment and to stay right where you are, but to take just a moment to turn and to wave or to give an air hug, air five, whatever you might want to do there to let people know you're excited to see them. Great. You could have a seat. Many of you have heard me say before that I grew up in a small town in western Kentucky, and so coming here to Bowling Green when I was a kid was always kind of a really big deal to me. You know, there were these mind-blowing things like stoplights and sit-down restaurants and shopping malls, but by far the most amazing part of Bowling Green to me was that my Aunt Penny lived here. She actually lived down the road, down this way. She was a teacher at Alberton Elementary School, and she would always just find all these really fun ways to engage with my cousins and I. Whenever we'd come to visit, it wasn't just, you know, we're going to hang out at the house. She'd have some kind of activity planned for us, some kind of surprise. And so on this particular occasion, when we arrived to her house, she had a big, big trip in store for us. She took us for the very first time, for all of us, to Mammoth Cave. And I can remember this trip very vividly as we drove there, because I had this mixture of both excitement and fear. You know, I was super curious about what it would be like to be underground, because I had never, ever done that before. But I was also very concerned, because, like, what if we got stuck down there, right? As we got there, we started going down the man-made steps deeper and deeper under the earth. And there was plenty of artificial light to guide us, and so I was feeling pretty good about things. But then all of a sudden, we walked into this big open space. And as we stood there, the guide did this very unexpected thing. He turned out all the lights. And so if you've been there before, then you know that this is what it looks like. Utter darkness, right? You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And so I can remember in that moment as I stood there that I felt completely overwhelmed. My body tensed up because, you know, there's these strangers around me and there could be critters crawling around and I had no control of what was going to happen perhaps. As I stood there, I could feel my heart starting to race. I could feel my palms sweating and I just felt absolutely helpless. When all of a sudden, the guide lit a single light, and that light began to pierce the darkness. Could we see everything with that one little light? No. But we could see enough to see our feet again, and we could see enough to see the path that was before us, and most importantly of all, we could see the guide. The light kind of illuminated him, and I knew that he could get us out of there. The psalmist that we heard in the passage earlier, he found himself in a different kind of utter darkness. He found himself not in the depths of a cave, but in the depths of despair that life's challenges can bring. Over the course of the 176-verse psalm, which makes it not just the longest psalm, but the longest chapter in all of Scripture, this is what he tells us. He says, "I am laid low in the dust." He says, "My soul is weary with sorrow." He reveals to us that he's being slandered and taunted, mocked, persecuted, despised, and smeared with lies. He says he's being held in contempt and scorn as his enemies plot his demise. He is distressed. He is oppressed. He is troubled. He is in darkness. A darkness that is so dark that there is no way that he could see his way out of it. He needed help beyond himself to navigate this. He needed a light to pierce his darkness. During this pandemic, I'm going to guess that all of us have found ourselves in certain moments in a kind of darkness, in moments where we have no idea what is going to happen next, in moments when our lack of control over this world becomes abundantly apparent, in moments when we find ourselves with no strategy for what we're facing, because who in the world would have dreamt of it? At the beginning of quarantine, we were only like 3 days in when I could feel the darkness beginning to set in. I just remember all these new and different things being thrown at us. I was working at home for the first time, and at the same time trying to educate my kid, which, teachers, mad respect to you. I was trying to figure out how to scavenge for the things that I needed from the grocery store. I was trying to figure out, you know, how this virus worked and how I could keep my family safe. And as all of this was adding up, it just overwhelmed me. And so I found myself at that point running low on knowledge, low on patience, low on rest, and feeling that helpless feeling. So I finally wrote down this little note to myself so that I could go back to it again and again and again. And the note simply said this. It said, "I guess I just haven't learned that yet." As a reminder that I needed help from beyond myself, that I needed light to navigate this. And so when we find ourselves in that moment, where is it that we turn? When we find ourselves in that moment, when we sense that the darkness is setting in and that we need this light to pierce our darkness, what are we going to look to? The psalmist reveals where he turns in verse 105. He says this. He says to God, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Your word. Since the beginning of time, God has spoken light into our darkness. When our world was just formless and empty, with nothing but darkness over the surface of the deep, what were the very first words that God speaks? He says, "Let there be light." And there was. And he saw that the light was good. And so ever since that initial moment, he has not stopped speaking light-giving words into our world. At some point, these words from God, they started getting written down. They started being recorded for us. And the result is that we have been given the gift of Scripture. The gift of Scripture that is a light in our darkness. The gift of Scripture through which God speaks to help us see our way forward. The gift of Scripture through which God speaks to illuminate our steps so that we can move in the direction of life and meaning and abundance. Scripture is indeed this great gift to us. But how does it work, right? How is it that God works through these ancient, sometimes confusing, even at times sounding like contradictory sounding words that were written down by different people in different places at different points in time? How is it that these words that are written here can be a light unto my path? How is it that these words can speak into my life here and now in 2020? You might wonder, is that even really possible? And I want you to know this morning that the answer to that question is yes. It absolutely is. But the way in which we approach Scripture and the expectations that we bring to it, they matter a great deal. There are some common misconceptions about how the Bible works that can kind of stand in the way of God giving us the light that he so wants to give to us. And so today I want to name some of these misconceptions. I want to kind of walk through them with you so that we can get the disappointment and sometimes even the disillusionment that these misconceptions tend to bring out of the way. It's important for us to understand what the Bible isn't, so that we can fully embrace what it is. And so the first thing that we need to understand is this. The Bible is not Wikipedia for followers of Jesus. How many of you have ever used Wikipedia before? The online encyclopedia that's always at your fingertips, right? It's pretty awesome. Let's just hypothetically say you're sitting at the dinner table and you begin to have an argument over how fast a cheetah can run. Not that this has ever happened in my house or anything, but somebody asks that, then a couple seconds, no problem. You can clear that up. Any of the kids here know how fast a cheetah can run, by the way? Get any idea? No? Wikipedia told me it was 68 to 75 miles an hour. You can find that fun fact in an instant, along with far more information than any normal person is going to know need to know about a cheetah in this lifetime. Wikipedia is a quick and easy way for us to find answers. And often we come to Scripture with that same expectation. We come to the Bible looking for quick and easy answers to life's challenges. We want to be able to just find a specific passage really quick and it tell us all that we need to know so that we can just move on. But here's the problem with that. The Bible was not designed to be a reference guide. God wants to give us something much more through the Bible when we come to it than just concise, topical answers to our questions. The Bible is not Wikipedia for followers of Jesus. And the Bible is also not the Waze app for our lives. Anybody use the Waze app before? All right, good. If you haven't, the Waze app is this program on your phone that is kind of like the ultimate driving navigation system, the ultimate driving navigation experience. It not only gives you turn-by-turn commands to get you where you need to go, but it also has like all the local shortcuts, and it can help you avoid all these things that might slow you down, right? Like traffic and police and accidents and construction. It's pretty nice, right? It takes all the guesswork out of getting to your desired destination. It's so nice, in fact, that we tend to come to Scripture wanting it to kind of do the same thing for us. We want it to eliminate all the guesswork. We want it to give us crystal clear commands that will just lead us to a happy life and that get us into heaven. We want it to say, hey, go here, don't go here. Do this, don't do that, so that we won't get off track and we can reach our desired destination. But guess what? The Bible is not meant to be a turn-by-turn command navigation system. Yes, there's certainly commands that are found within the pages of the Bible, but it doesn't address every situation that we are going to face. And all those commands, they come to us in certain contexts that we at least have to stop and to contemplate. The truth is that God wants to do so much more than give us a checklist of commands. The Bible is not the Waze app for our lives. And finally, it's important for us to understand that the Bible is not a weapon. One of my earliest memories growing up with the Bible is standing in a Sunday school classroom, and there was like kids all the way across the wall, and our teacher would call out, "Present arms," and we would hold our Bibles out in front of us. And then she would call out an address in Scripture, like John 3:16, and then say, "Charge!" And then we'd have to flip through the Bible as fast as we could. Did anybody else do this? Yeah? All right. Flip through the Bible as fast as we could. And then when you found the verse, put your finger on it, and the first person to start reading it won, right? And then they would call us to attention again. These Bible drills, as we call them, they definitely helped me be able to find stuff in the Bible pretty fast. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of like to win, so I got pretty good at it. But it also planted within me this other misconception about Scripture that's just not helpful. There's this temptation for us to approach the Bible as if it is a weapon to be used to defend ourselves and to defeat others. We want to win, and so we think, you know, if I can just find a passage here or there that backs up my position, then I can use it as the game-ending, show-stopping, mic-drop moment. Well, the Bible says X, and so that's the end of it. We want the Bible to sever hard, difficult, complex conversations and to make them very clean, cut, and plain and simple for us. But have you ever noticed how this same book has been used to often defend polar opposite sides of an argument? Have y'all ever seen this? Have you been on Facebook recently? Because I've seen it there for sure, right? If you look back across history, you see that this happens time and time again as people argue the opposite sides of issues like slavery and the accumulation of wealth and the use of violence and the roles of women, and the list could go on and on and on. The Bible was not designed to be a tool that protects us and that attacks others. God wants to do so much more through Scripture than just give us ammunition. The Bible is not a weapon. And so, how does the Bible actually work? What does it do, and how can we faithfully approach it? Well, the primary goal of God in Scripture can be summarized in just one word, and that word is wisdom. Wisdom digs deeper than quick and easy Wikipedia answers. It means that at times we are going to need to wade into some mystery. Wisdom goes beyond ways turn-by-turn commands, and it means that we are going to at times have to wrestle and to use some discernment, leaning on the whole community of God at times to understand. Wisdom, it won't settle for a weapon that we wield to protect ourselves and to attack others. Instead, it's going to call us to humbly assume that we always have room to grow ourselves. You know, as I say that, maybe wisdom doesn't sound all that appealing. Maybe it sounds kind of scary and hard. We might not be sure that we want it at all. But let me tell you why wisdom is more than worth it. When we come to Scripture seeking wisdom, we encounter the one who became wisdom from God for us. When we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we come and we encounter the Word of God who is enfleshed. When we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we encounter the one who came to be the light who shines into the darkness. Instead of answers, instead of commands, instead of ammunition, when we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we get Jesus. We get this dynamic relationship with Him that has the power and the possibility to transform us like nothing else can. We get to go on this journey with Him, this journey of learning more of who He is and more of who we are and how He is at work in the world. We learn how to recognize His voice and to trust Him as we encounter Him through these pages. So that when those dark and those helpless, difficult days come and we need help beyond ourselves, then we know that He is right here, ready to speak to us light into our darkness. That He is right here, ready to guide us, shining a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lectio Divina is a sacred and an ancient practice that guides us to come to Scripture seeking wisdom. It encourages us to come to the Bible not with our own agenda, but ready rather to hear from God whatever it is that He wants to say to us in this moment. Its goal isn't for us to accumulate more knowledge. Its goal for us is not to kind of analyze the text. Rather, the goal is for us to come and have our hearts transformed by the one who we encounter there. It creates this sacred space for us to come into Jesus' presence, to be in conversation with Him, and to receive His wisdom. In Lectio Divina, we read the same text four times, but every time we read it with a different goal. First, we just read it, and then we reflect upon it, then we respond to the text, and then finally, we rest in the text. We're going to try this out together in community today, but it's also something that you can practice on your own. And so if you find this practice life-giving, if you find it light-giving in your lives today, then I encourage you to try it out this week. But as we come now, my prayer is that we will encounter the one who came to be wisdom from God for us, that we will encounter the one who is the Word of God in the flesh, that we will encounter the one who shines light into our darkness. Let's pray together. And as we do, just go ahead and put your feet flat on the floor and get into a comfortable position. Lord Jesus, light of the world, would you pierce our darkness? Work through these words to make them a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As I read the text for this first time, listen for the word or the phrase that jumps out and that really captures your attention. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take a moment now to recall the word or the phrase that struck you and repeat it to yourself. Let it sink in. Now let me invite you to reflect on this passage. As I read it once again, keep in mind that word or that phrase that stood out to you and consider, how is my life touched by this word? What is it in my life that needs to hear this word? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Having read and reflected on this passage, as you hear it read the third time, contemplate on how you will respond. Ask yourself, how is God asking me to act or to respond to what he has said to me today? Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Finally, as we listen to the text one last time, rest in the word of God. Thank him for being present with you and speaking to you today. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank you, Jesus, for meeting with us today in your word. May we carry the word that you spoke to us with us. May it continue to transform our hearts, that we might join you in transforming our world. We pray this in your name. Amen.